Bibles to the first book of the Bible, Genesis, chapter 12. This morning we're going to begin looking at the life of Abraham. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would give us the faith of an Abraham. The courage, Lord, the fortitude, Lord, to step out into your will for our lives. Even if it seems mysterious, scary, dangerous. Lord, we can trust you with our lives. We know that you do all things well, and you take care of your people. So, Lord, let us, as we sang, be surrendered to you, totally as your people. Speak to us from your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a wonderful book on my bookshelf that's entitled 131 Christians Everyone Should Know. And it has the short bios of 131 Christians throughout church history. And it's a wonderful book. Various pastors, evangelists, missionaries, poets, musicians, politicians, statesmen. You know, there's nothing like reading about or observing real Christian faith lived out in the lives of real people. That powerful testimony of a life that is surrendered to the Lord, it speaks huge. It speaks huge volumes. Now, the best biographies you will ever read are those that are recorded in the Scripture. The stories of the Old and New Testament saints, they are put in the Bible there for our admonition. For our example, Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So from time to time, I like to just do a character study from the Scripture, and I call it a biblical portrait. We've done it in the past with Ruth. We've done it in the past with King David. This morning, I'd like to start one with Abraham, one of the most important men in all of Scripture. Now, his story begins in chapter 12, verse 1. Of course, when we first meet him, his name is Abram. It will eventually be changed to Abraham. Let's read it. It says in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 12, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" I think this is one of the most significant calls of God upon a person's life that we find in the Scripture. There is a lot going on here, and actually God is doing something very beautiful here. It's been 300 years since God had spoken to any other person when he's on the earth, when he speaks to Abraham. The last person God had spoke to was Noah. And you remember what happened in the days of Noah. It was very wicked, the flood. God, in a sense, gave the human race a second chance. But then what happened to the human race after the flood? They continued to stay wicked. In fact, there was the Tower of Babel incident and all of that. And, you know, 300 years pass, and God could have said, second chance, they've blown it again. I'm done. But he doesn't. It says the Lord spoke. The Lord revealed himself. The Lord chose a man by the name of Abraham and began to work out the plan of salvation to help the human race. He hadn't given up. So it's a beautiful picture. God, in His grace, beginning to work the plan of salvation. Now, you also need to know that this call of God upon Abram's life was a sovereign act of grace. Abram didn't deserve this call. Abram had done nothing to merit this call. Abram was just a dude hanging out in a place called Ur. Pretty big city at those times. Big family, lots of stuff. Just sort of living out his life. In fact, he came from a culture that was a worshiper of pagan gods. They worshiped the moon god named Nannar. And Scripture says that Abram and his whole family were involved in this pagan worship. So there was nothing. God just saw Abram, picked him, said, I'm going to call that guy out. And I'm going to do something marvelous in that person's life. This whole idea of election and free will, very mysterious. But understand, man, if you belong to God, He picked you. He chose you. He came to your life one day and said, hey, I want you. And that's what He did with Abram. Now, I believe that this call is also one of the most challenging and demanding calls of God upon any person's life that you find in Scripture. What God asked Abram to do here was pretty intense. Wouldn't you agree? Could you do what God called Abraham to do? Would you do what God called Abraham to do? Look at what he's asked. Verse 1. Get out of your country, from your family. Abram, I want you to pack up everything, and I want you to separate yourself from your family. Move away from your family. Now, he had a mother, he had a father named Terah. He had brothers named Nahor and Haran. He had sisters-in-law. He had nephews. He had nieces. He had aunts. He had uncles. He had an extended family unit around him. He grew up in that place. He was also surrounded with a network of friends and acquaintances, people that he grew up with, people that he knew all of his life. His whole support structure was around him. And God said, I want you to separate yourself from all of that. Get out of that family. And this wouldn't be a temporary move. The idea that this was going to be a permanent move. Abram would permanently leave his family. In those days, there were no texting. There was no email. You couldn't hop on a red eye and fly to see family over the weekend. This was an incredible thing that God called Abram to do. Separate from your family. Jesus placed that same call upon people's lives in the New Testament. He had told some folks, some folks had come to Him and said that they wanted to follow Him. And Jesus said, okay, then follow Me. But one of the disciples in Matthew 8 said to Him, let Me first go and bury My father. And Jesus said to him, follow Me and let the dead bury their own dead. Now that sounds very harsh. When He was saying, let Me first go bury My father, it didn't mean that His dad was dead and that there needed to be an immediate funeral. It was an idiom used. His dad could have been alive and would have been alive for many years. To bury My father at that point meant, let Me stay with My father throughout the rest of His life and then get all the business and all that stuff in order. And so Jesus said, nope, I must be first place. You must separate out from your family. Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, if anyone comes to Me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. Now that's harsh, isn't it? Non-believers many times will take that out and use it as a critic. Look how mean Jesus is. He told us to hate mommy. It wasn't that at all. He's using hyperbole. He's saying that your love for me must be so great that your love for even family members, though great as it is, would look like hate in comparison to how much more you love me. The idea is Jesus is to be first place in our lives. And if he were to call us away, even from family, we should be willing to go. Now you remember in Abram's case, his whole family was into pagan worship. So that had a lot to do with it, getting him and calling him outside of that system. But that is supposed to be number one. Jesus is supposed to be number one. God called Abram out of his family. Now look out what he says. It says in verse 1, get out of your country. That is, leave Ur, leave the city. Ur was an impressive city at that time. Population of 250,000 people. Advanced in culture, advanced in education. They found houses that date back to that time. Three-story houses, mansions that open up into beautiful courtyards. All the conveniences of city life, all of that. And God said, Abram, move out of all that. Come out of the culture. Come out of that city. Come out of all those ties, all those conveniences. And you know, Abram was a city boy, as much as you could be a city boy at that time. That would have been very, very difficult. Leave all that you know. Leave all of that society. Leave all of that culture. Would you do that? Could you do that? You know, for many of us in this room, our idea of camping is a hotel, right? The idea of going out and living off the land and being out in the middle of nowhere and living in tents and things like that. Ooh, we don't like that, but that's exactly what God was calling Abram to do. Think of all the missionaries that have left things like that over the years. Leaving the comfort of their own country. We've got two examples that we just prayed for this morning. A call out. Then, he says, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house. Now, that doesn't mean his family. You already know he's supposed to leave his family. But the idea here is God was calling Abraham to leave financial security. To leave it. You see, in those days, all the finances was kept, all the possessions in the household. The household of Terah was his household. The father's house. All the wealth and stuff accumulated there. And when the father would die, the inheritance would be split among the sons. And oftentimes they all stayed in the same land and it was all kept right there. Abram, I want you to leave all of your future security. All of your financial security. That would be like us being asked by God to leave our high-paying job. To leave a career with that, those great retirement benefits. Could you? Would you? If God called you to do that? So, God said to Abraham, I want you to get out of your city, your culture. I want you to get out of your family. I want you to get out of your financial security. I want you to move. And to make matters worse, God didn't even tell Abram where he was going. Did you catch that? The Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. You're just going to have to trust me, bro. I'm going to show you. I'll take you to a place, but I'm not letting you know. You know, there's a wonderful website that I use a lot. It's called MapQuest.com. It's really, really cool. You can put in coordinates in position A, the address of where your origin is, right? And then you can put in coordinates to destination B, where you. And then you click this button, And you get a list of directions on how to get from point A to point B. And there's even a map. I even had a map with a car that goes along the road. You can download those instructions to a GPS navigator, and they can even have somebody read those to you and get. I like that. That's cool. What happens on MapQuest if you don't put in any coordinates for point B? And you click the button. It comes back and it says, destination unknown. Can't give you any directions. MapQuest would not have worked for Abraham. There was no point B. So, leave everything, and I'll tell you later where I'm going to take you. Consider that. I think many of us would be willing to leave a lot of things if God called us, but we need the directions, don't we? We need the map. Lord, if I do this, show me what's going to happen. But that wouldn't be a step out into the unknown, would it? It was faith required of Abraham. Now, I am certain that Abram told people about this call. There's no doubt. It doesn't say in the scripture, but I'm sure he told various people, yeah, the Lord told me to do this. And do you think that he got encouraged? No way, man. They probably did everything they could to talk Abram out. You're going to go where? You don't know where? You're going to leave your family? You're going to leave poor old mom? You've got a bright financial future, Abram. Look at it. You're going to throw all that away? Or how about this one? Why would you go after some unknown God, Abram? Why would you desert the religious traditions of your family? Your great-grandfather was a moon god worshiper. Your grandfather was a moon god worshiper. We're moon god worshipers. You have grown up in a family of moon god worshipers. How could you turn your back on your tradition? Very, very challenging call that God placed on Abram's life. The scripture says he obeyed. He did it. Look at verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. So Abram did obey. He did obey that call. But take note of this. Eventually. And you see here that there was some partial obedience. So you can see that this was something that Abram really struggled with in his life. This was hard. God had told Abram to leave his whole family, right? Everyone. Did he do that? No, he took his nephew named Lot, who will be a lot of trouble. There's partial obedience there. And notice also that there was some delay. I take you back to verse 1. It says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country. Now, if you read the scripture and you piece it all together, you find out that this call of God came upon Abram's life while he was in Ur of the Chaldees. Now, right down near where the Persian Gulf is. He was supposed to go out of the Ur alone, come out to a land that God would show him. He and his family, his father, they came out of Ur together and they went to this other city called Haran. And they stayed there for several years, and it wasn't until several years that Abram finally jumped off the edge. So there was delay there. It's interesting that his father's name, Terah, means slowly born or delayed. In the Hebrew, it means delayed. His father delayed him. Abram allowed his dad to delay him. Something that's very easy to do when it comes to family. That's tough, isn't it? This city, Haran, means the parched place. Very dry. So while Abram was on hold, he was delaying God's best for his life. And you know what? He lived in a parched place, in a dry place. And I'm telling you, if you're outside of the will of God in your life, if God has told you to do something, you know it's from Him. You know you're supposed to take a step in this certain direction. And you hold it back, you are delaying God's best for your life. And oftentimes you will live in a place of spiritual dryness in a Haran. But eventually, he did take the plunge. He moved out. He moved out from Haran, and he makes it all the way down, as it says in verse 5. They departed from Haran. They departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. And for this, Abram is known. This was an intense act of faith, even though it was delayed. It was intense that he did this. He is mentioned in the Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. I love in the grace of God, in the New Testament account, his failure and his delay isn't even mentioned. I like that. Abram is a hero. Abram is a man of faith. Abram obeyed. I believe that God comes a calling on our lives. I believe that He comes to us and that He calls us out. I believe He calls people to salvation. And I believe that His calling comes upon the lives of His people many, many times. Different phases of life. Different chapters. God is always stretching us. He's calling us out to walk with Him, to step into the unknown. We need, no matter how scary it looks or how crazy it might seem, to surrender our lives to God and follow His will for our life. Corrie ten Boom said, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." Amen. It's also been said, "The will of God never will lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you." So, very difficult thing God asked Abram to do, and he responded. But look at the blessings attached. My friend, when God calls, there are blessings attached to it. And when a person follows the call of God in his life, divine blessing reigns, pours out upon that person. Look at the promises that God gave to Abram. There are many. "Now the Lord God said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, the area of Canaan." And as Abram gets there, you'll see in the story, eventually God will promise Abram, look to the north, the south, the east, the west, right in the middle of this Canaan. That is your land forever. And that will belong to your family, to your nation that comes forth. Abram wouldn't realize all that in his day, but we know that that would be a blessing. By the way, I believe that land still belongs to Israel. all this talk in the Middle East, who does the land belong to, and dividing land for peace and trading land for peace. Listen, man, that land belongs to God, and He gave it to Israel. Israel's the apple of God's eye. And that promise comes all the way back to the life of Abram. So He promised him a land. Verse 2, I will make you a great nation. Now look at this. God calls him to leave his family. And how scary that might be. And he's thinking, how can I do it? But as he comes out, as he trusts, God builds a family around him. And even says, eventually your family and your descendants are going to be so great, it's going to be a nation. You will be the father of the nation of Jews, the nation of Israel. The exalted father. Now, this is even very, very difficult for Abram to believe at this point, because if you remember the story, Abram and Sarai couldn't have kids, could they? Sarai was barren. So think about this. I want you to leave all your family and all your connections right here. I know you can't have kids. But I want you to go out into the great unknown, and I'm going to raise up a great nation from you. What? And yet he went out. And later on, we'll read about it. In their old age, way beyond the point of childbearing, God gives Abraham and Sarai a son. These supernatural, wonderful things happen when you step out into the unknown. It almost frees God up to do miracles in your life if you'll take a step. I'll give you a land. I'll make you a great nation. Look at verse 2. I will bless you. Now that is speaking of financial blessing. Prosperity, materialism, wealth. Again, I want you to leave all your financial security. Oh no, God, I can't do that. All my financial security is wrapped up over here. But he did. He went out, and you know the story. God blessed Abram abundantly. God takes care of his people, folks. Those people who step out into the unknown according to the will of God, knowing that it's the call of God upon their lives, not just a fanciful dream, are taken care of. God will bless. Peter one day said to Jesus, "See, we've left all and followed you." And they did. Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life." But it looks scary. I can't get by that. Security. You take a step out, God will bless. He promised Abram a new land. He promised Abram a great nation. He promised Abram, I will bless you. In verse 2, I will make your name great. The name of Abraham has been made great. Everybody's heard of Abram. We teach our kids that. That's one of the first songs they learn in Sunday school, remember? Father Abraham had many sons. We all know about Abram. Abraham is venerated by three world religions. Judaism, Christianity, Islam. Abraham is mentioned in 11 New Testament books. He's mentioned in 17 books or 16 books of the Old Testament. He is included in the Hall of Faith. God has made his name great. He is remembered as a man of God. He is known, and his story continues to bless people today. And think of what God has done with names of people throughout church history. A John Wesley, a Charles Wesley, a Hudson Taylor. I will make your name great. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you. and I will curse him who curses you. That's a promise from God to Abram, and I think that was one that would have been very, very encouraging to Abram. Basically, what God is saying to Abraham in that is, I've got your back, Abram. He's going to go out, he's going to leave, he's going to go into this other land, other tribes out there. They might want to rob him, they might want to kill him, they might want to run him out of town. And God is saying, Abram, you go out, I know there's going to be difficulties, there's going to be conflicts out there, but I got your back. And I'll tell you this, if anybody curses you, I'll curse them. And those who bless you, I'll bless. That divine anointing, that divine protection upon a man who went out. Now, that promise, I believe, is still one that's in effect for today. I believe that those who bless Israel, God will bless. I believe that those who curse Israel, God will curse. And I believe that's true as a nation. I believe that one of the reasons God's blessing has been upon our nation is that because we have stood with Israel. The United States was one of the first modern nations to grant full citizenship and protection to Jewish people. And we have stood by Israel. We have been their allies. And I believe God has blessed us. Now, I am very concerned with our current relationship with Israel. Because I promise you this, if we turn our backs on Israel, if we throw Israel under the bus, we just got in the wrong corner. And we see that throughout history. It was Barnhouse who many years ago said, when the Greeks overran Palestine and desecrated the altar in the Jewish temple, they were soon conquered by Rome. When Rome killed Paul and many others and destroyed Jerusalem under Titus, Rome soon fell. Spain was reduced to a fifth-rate nation after the Inquisition against the Jews. Poland fell after the pogroms. Hitler's Germany went down after its orgies of anti-Semitism. Britain lost her empire when she broke her faith with Israel. You've looked through history, man. That promise is still in effect. I will bless those who bless you. And curse those who curse you. Let's bless Israel. I am pro-Israel, and I will be voting for politicians who are pro-Israel. It's a very, very important factor in my thinking. So, all of this wonderful blessing, land, family, nation, blessing, protection, all of this God promised Abram if he steps out. And even more than that, notice what he says to Abraham in verse 2. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And look at this. And you shall be a blessing. And at the end of verse 3. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Here's what God does. This is the pattern that gets repeated over and over and over again. He sees someone. He picks that person. He places a call upon that person's life. That person responds. That person experiences personal blessings of God poured out upon his life. And then God turns that person into a blessing for others. That's what God did with Abram. Blessed him and turned him into a blessing. Never forget this. God blesses you so you can be a blessing to others. Amen? This is what God did with Abram. And Abram would bless the people in the land in the short term. And obviously, Abram would be a blessing long term in ways that he wasn't even really cognizant of. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This guy from Ur. In your life, out of your life, every tribe, every nation, every family on the earth, on the globe, can be blessed. How's that possible? Well, we know, right? This is a prophecy. This is prophetic. Abraham, the father of the Jews. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, would come from the family of the Jews. He is a son of Abraham. Jesus would be our Savior. Jesus was sent to die on the cross for the sins of the world and rose again that third day. And He is there to be our Savior. And it doesn't matter what tribe, what race, no matter what language you speak, if you give your life to Jesus Christ, you are saved. You are forgiven. And there is a community of saved people all over the earth throughout all of history that have come into the family of God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham. Oh, the pattern. What God did with Abraham. What God would do with Abraham. I want to apply that pattern to a few areas in our lives, because I believe it is something that needs to repeat and will repeat. If you're here this morning and you're a born-again Christian, you gave your life to Jesus maybe many years ago or maybe even recently, but you can honestly say this morning, yes, I'm saved, but I've never surrendered. Perhaps you've never grown. Perhaps you've never truly surrendered your life to the Lord, and you know God has got a call on your life. There's things He wants to do through your life. But you're saying, nope, I like the friends I'm hanging with. I like my situation right now. And you've just stagnated. You've never really grown. God has got a call upon your life this morning. And it may look very scary to you. It may require you separating from friends, separating from a lifestyle, separating even from family influences. If you do so, God's blessing will be upon you in ways like you've never seen. He blesses, and He'll turn you into a blessing. You'll bless other people. You'll bless other people long term. Because people will come to Jesus Christ through your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you are a mature believer. You've been a Christian for many, many years. You've walked with the Lord for many, many years. And you've even been involved in various acts of service for the Lord. But right now in your life, there's been sort of a stagnation. You feel dry. You feel rot. I believe God's call comes upon our lives all the time. And He's always looking for new things and new challenges. And maybe God has something new for you. Maybe there's a different ministry you're supposed to be a part of. Maybe there's some different things that you're supposed to try for the Lord. And you say, well, it's scary, I'm used to this. Well, wait, step out. The blessings will be poured out upon you. And you'll become a blessing to others. Maybe it's an issue in your life, my brother or sister in Christ. Maybe there's an issue in your life that has to do with finances or parenting or marriage or whatever, and there's this thing that you've been wrestling with, or maybe it's a sin in your life that you need to finally repent from. And you say, well, it's very scary and I know I have to do this. Step out. Step out into the wonderful will of God for your life. Let the blessings be poured out. Perhaps there are some here this morning who have never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You've heard the gospel message. You know that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You know. You've been told it, but you're holding back. You're not receiving Jesus. There's something holding you back. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's a tradition of a family that says, you've always been in okay with God. What do you need to change for? Or you think, yeah, I'm going to have to change churches. Or yeah, I'm going to make people upset. I'm not going to have these good friends. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning. Don't delay. And understand, if you receive Jesus Christ this morning, His blessings will be poured out upon your life and He'll turn you into a blessing. And oftentimes, God in His grace will use you to bless the very people that you were afraid of losing. You come to Christ, and then other people in your family start coming to Christ. And your friends. You guys remember John Newton? Rough, dirty sailor with a foul mouth and an appetite for rotten living. He hated life and life hated him. He was the captain of a slave ship. This guy was doing so much damage in his life to people on many different scales. But then one day someone placed in his hands a copy of Thomas a Kempis, The Imitation of Christ. He also had the gift of a good mother who told him about the Savior when he was young. And he got saved. He went all over England sharing his faith. Well past retirement age, he had to have an assistant stand in the pulpit with him on Sundays. He was nearly blind and spoke in whispers, but nothing could keep him from preaching while he still had breath. There's the pattern of God. John Newton, running amok, destroying people's lives, foul, sinful, ugly, life hated him. He meets Jesus Christ. The call of God comes upon his life. He responds. Blessings are poured out upon him. John Newton becomes a blessing to his culture, to his world, to his family. That's what happened with Abram. That's what's happened with many people throughout history. I ask you this morning, has it happened with you? The amazing story of Abraham begins with his response to the amazing call of God in his life. Will you respond to the call of God in your life? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Maybe there's some here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, and it is time. It is time to trust God with your life. I want you to have an opportunity to let God bless you. If you're here this morning, you need to get saved by placing your faith in Him, and that's by saying a prayer of salvation, and I'd love to lead you in that prayer right now. But you need to raise your hand up high so I can see it. Say, Pastor Terry, that's me. I see your hand. God bless you. Anybody else? Raise up your hand. I see your hand in the left. God bless you. And over here in the left. And anybody else? God will change you. I see your hand. Okay, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Inviting Jesus into your life. Just simply say, in the quietness of your heart, Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Rising again that third day, I receive you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to live my life for you. I also want to give another invitation this morning for any Christians here this morning who need to rededicate.
You need to give. You need to come back to the Lord this morning. It's time. If you're needing that, you need to say a prayer. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand high so I can see it. Anybody here, a Christian? I see your hand. I see your hand. I see many hands. It's beautiful. Let's pray this prayer together. The quietness of our hearts. Lord Jesus, I desire to come back to You. To live for You. Full-heartedly. To trust You once again. In every area of my life. Help me to turn from those things that are keeping me from You. Sit on the throne of my life once again. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to